All right, joining us now is Gerald Salenti of TrendsJournal.com. And of course, if you use the code NIGHT, you can save 10% off that. It's a weekly publication, a massive amount of information there every week, and it's very nicely organized into an online magazine. And again, if you use the code NIGHT, you can save 10% there off of TrendsJournal.com. So it's been a while since we've talked. Gerald, good to have you back on. And now that we're here in the new year, I want to get your ideas about what you see coming in the next year. What are your trends that you see for 2024?
Yeah. Happy days are here again. Everything is going to be perfect.
It's a dark comedy.
Happy days are here again. Da, 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 da. Go back to 2023. Look at some of our top trends. One of the top ones, Middle East meltdown. We warned this last year.
Yeah.
We warned it when that murderous little arrogant piece of genocidal crap scum Netanyahu got reelected in December of 2022. Not my language, but the mainstream media. He was put into office by right-wing extremists. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People have no idea of what caused the October 7th Hamas attack. Let's go back. There were 39 weeks of major protests going on in Israel. The clown boy, another arrogant little jerk, Isaac Herzog, the president of Israel, God gave us this land. Well, hey, you were talking about religions before, right? Yeah. Hey, how about if I don't believe in your God? What the hell with you? My God's the real God, and God gave us this land. Save it, Jack. Okay, let's go back. This is the same Isaac Herzog. There were 39 weeks of hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets from March of 2023. To October 6th, just before Hamas. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because of Netanyahu's Judicial Reform Act, which basically said, I'm being brought up on corruption charges, and if I get this Judicial Reform Act passed, they can't take me to court because we're going to do away with the courts and the politicians will be in charge. That Isaac Herzog called it a civil war was going on in Israel before Hamas attacked. Mm-hmm. A civil war. One of my lines is when all else fails, they take it a war.
That's right.
Because again, we only put the data in the Trends Journal. And by the way, take what's going on with the Israel war. What do? We go to the Times of Israel. We go to Jerusalem Post. We go to Haaretz. We go to the Iranian news, ISNA, IRNA, Tehran News. We go to Al Jazeera. We go to Euro News. We go all over the world. We pick out what they're saying and we put the stories together and they give our trends analysis and trend forecasts. So we're not selling propaganda like they all are. So we put what they're reporting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right after the Hamas attack, right after it, nobody remembers this. The United States and Egypt had already warned Netanyahu that the attack was coming. This came out like 2 days after the attack.
Mm-hmm.
They let it happen so he could stay in power. A civil war was going on. All right, now let's go back to what was going on as well as that civil war. They were slaughtering Palestinians in the West Bank. They were raiding mosques. They were stealing more land. So, here, this is one of our trends journals, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Christ beating bankers, I guess. Well, one of them, that guy in the front, looks kind of like George W. Bush. But it's bankers, right?
But Goldman Sachs gag.
Yeah.
The Prince of Peace made a whip to drive the money changers out of the temple, the same banksters that are slaughtering us now. So now, if you and your family were Palestinians, and you were locked in an enclave, in a quote, apartheid state, not my language, but many, many organizations, including the United Nations, calling it an apartheid state, and you were locked in there, since 2007. And the reason you're there is because they threw your family out of their homes in 1948, the Nakba, when they pushed all the Palestinians out and put them in that enclave. They're killing, robbing, stealing. You think you're going to fight back? And then the facts coming out from Max Blumenthal. So don't call me anti-Jewish because I think Blumenthal's Jewish. All the facts about how the Israelis killed most of those people on October 8th.
Yeah.
There's the video of the tank firing into the kibbutz. There are the videos of the helicopters shooting the people.
Mm-hmm.
The videos that the Israelis killed most of those people.
Yeah.
So going back to this, that was one of our top trends for 2023. Middle East meltdown. It melted down.
Yeah.
Now, one of our top trends for 2024 is World War III.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, things have stepped up there in the with the attacks from the Houthis. And so now in the last 48 hours, there's been attacks on those bases. It's spreading. There's been attacks into Lebanon. And of course, that base is unrest is nothing is cooling off. It's all heating up and with even more stuff there. What were some of the other things that you saw in 2023? Because I like the fact that when I asked you about trends in 2024, you go back to talk about what you saw coming a year ago. You don't see that from, I said before the New Year's began, I said, you got all these people, every year they do these articles about what Nostradamus says, and it's all very general, but they never talk about, so what were his predictions, or what was his psychic's prediction, or anybody else, what were their predictions for last year? How did they do last year? And so I like the fact that you go back and you point out, well, this is what we said last year, and look at it happen. And unfortunately, I think you're increasingly right. Do you think that they're going to expand this as part of the election chaos, or will they wait until after the election to really hit?
Absolutely. Okay. When all else fails, they take you to war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
What followed the Great Depression?
Oh, yeah.
World War II. Yeah. What followed the dot-com bust? The war on terror.
Yeah.
I just told you what Netanyahu, they do this all the time.
Right, right.
They do it all the time. It's the facts there for everybody to look at. So it's so important because they're going to, there's this thing called the Samson option. You know about that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Pulling the temple down and with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So now they're going after Hezbollah. Oh, they call the Hezbollah, by the way, militants, right? Militants. Huh. Militants? You mean these are the people in Lebanon that forced the Israelis out of Lebanon? Why, how dare they force the Israelis out of Lebanon? They could take anything that they want. They're militants. They're not militants. They're protecting themselves from invaders. And here's the other thing. You were talking about religions before.
Mm-hmm.
What, they all got lockjaw? Where are all the religions? Well, how come they're not coming out talking about peace?
Because they're cheering Trump. That's what,
where are the Episcopalians? Where are the Mormons? Where are they, Seventh-day Adventists waiting for the eighth day? Yeah. Hey, all you Quakers, you're dying in an earthquake. Oh, you were talking about the Catholic Church? I was raised Catholic. It has nothing to do with Christ. Nothing. My life was destroyed for many years. I told you about this, a nun beating me up in the fifth grade, perforating my middle ear and breaking my eardrum. I was a top athlete, the fastest kid, lost all of it, lost my balance, could no longer get my ears wet. I used to go water skiing in the Hudson River and go over the wakes of ships with just a belt on and almost being doing a 180 on a slalom going water skiing, and I could never get my ears wet again the rest of my life. And then she left me back. So I became the stupidest kid around. Christ would have loved what she did to me. As I say, I'm thankful Father Foley was a ladies' man. Every week you're reading, every couple of days, about how the priests sexually abuse all these kids. Over and over, over and over, over and over. I'll tell you, the gays took over the Catholic Church when they invented celibacy. Can't get married, can't get married. You know why the gays took it over? Who has better costumes than the Catholic Church?
Christmas time.
I'm not anti-gay. Take it easy.
The gay apparel, right? That's Don we now.
But anyway, where are the religions?
Yeah.
Where are, in every piece of our paper money, in God we trust, what God do we trust that we're taking our money to give weapons to Israel to kill all these innocent people? When you put the numbers in, over 30,000. There's over 7,000 people buried in rubble that they can't find. And we're doing this to get Hamas. Who the hell are you talking to? Who the hell are you talking to? You're doing it to get rid of them and steal more land. Again, since 1967, these are settlements. You're stealing land. What do you mean settlements? It's against the Geneva Convention. It's against Article 242 of the United Nations. You're stealing the damn land. Hey, Salenti, you're an anti-Semite. You don't like Jews. We can steal anything that we want. We're stealing the damn land. Hey, guess what? Guess what? If they came in here and tried to steal what I'd have, I'd blow their damn brains out. Got it? Got it?
Right.
Somebody comes in here into my place and tries to take over my life, I'll kill him. I will protect myself. I attack the attacker.
Well, except that here in America, we've got the borders wide open, and nobody is allowed to do anything. I think it was Abbott who said, we're doing everything we can. If we shoot them, the feds will come after us for murder. And it's like, well, you're not, you wouldn't have to actually hit anybody if you started taking some pot shots, probably. But still, they're not interested, and they'll only do limited protection of the border. Of course, the Democrats want to have it completely open. How do you see that? And how do you see war factoring in to this election? Because they are connected, as you pointed out. Are they going to, how do you think they're going to time this? You think they're going to do this early on, or will they do it at last minute before the election? What do you think is going to happen?
They don't have a plan. They don't have a plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is as it keeps happening. So let's go back to the war. And again, 80%, over 80% of the people swallowed the crap coming out of little Georgie Bush's mouth that we're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive. Biden's ratings are in the toilet. The people don't want either Trump or Biden, by the way, when you look at the polls.
All right.
What they just did, what the United States did, attacking, Biden said it was his choice to attack Yemen. That's against the Constitution.
Yeah.
We weren't being threatened. He said America's being threatened. You're a goddamn liar. They weren't threatening us. They were stopping ships over there going into Israel. That's what they were doing because they're trying to stop the slaughter of the Palestinians. He had no right to go bomb this place. It's against the Constitution. Where's the outrage? None. So now let's go back to the migrants. one of your top trends for this year. Migrant madness, and I'm mad as hell. Here's the story. When I was a kid, I remember my parents, may they rest in peace, talking, I'm a little kid, about they were trying to get their cousin Constantino from Napoli to come into America, and it was so hard to get him in here. That's how restrictive it was.
Oh, yeah.
The immigration process.
Oh, yeah. I remember just a couple of decades ago, Karen still has family in Italy. They were trying to immigrate. They couldn't do it. You know, they it was impossible for them to come to America because they were trying to do it legally. Very, very restrictive. And of course, Elon Musk is saying that. He says, you make it virtually impossible for somebody to legally immigrate here, but you keep the borders wide open. And what I talk about, Gerald, is the magnet. You know, everybody says, well, we got to make sure that they're not stealing our jobs. So you should get an ID, e-verify, and get permission from the government in order to have a job. But we're paying these people to come in. They're going to give them 2 years free rent in one northeastern state. California is giving them $300 a week unemployment right away and all the free health care that they can get. I mean, this is a massive magnet that's pulling people through, and it's going to pull them through a wall, over a wall, under a wall. Any border thing that you put up there, they're going to find a way in if you give people these kinds of benefits.
You said California's giving. They're stealing our money to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That California is stealing our money. The tax is ridiculous. The tax laws in this country are ridiculous what you pay. So let's go back to the here's how it changed. Again, I'm 77 years old. I'm prime draft meat during the Vietnam War. They're drafting everyone. By the way, that's the only reason I went to college, because if you went to college, you get a deferment.
Yeah, I remember.
I wanted to open up a delicatessen in the Bronx in Parkchester, you know, and I'm drafting everybody. The only school I could get into, I barely got out of high school, was in Charleston, West Virginia. They used to call us greasers. The greaser from the Bronx had black greasy hair in Charleston, West Virginia in 1965. So what
like,
happened
like
was,
my cousin Vinny, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. And I got to tell you, the people there were so kind.
Ugh. Yeah.
Anyway. LBJ, LB Jerkoff, LB Johnson, that gave us the Vietnam War, he was the first one to change the immigration laws to get more people into the country to get jobs, because all the young guys were getting drafted. So then number two, immigration. My book, Trends 2000, international best-selling book. I wrote that in 1996. The internet revolution begins around 94. It's booming. The Silicon Valley is becoming a big hot spot. They needed labor, and they didn't want to pay the high wages to Americans, so that other piece of scum, a murderous bastard, Bill Clinton, invented the H-1B visas that allowed more cheap labor to come in. Get them from India. Now, here we are now. Again, as I've always say, when I was a young man, there were things called grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores. Now they're all chains, right? All the mom and pops are out of business.
Right.
Go into a CVS and you'll see on the door, help wanted. Go to a Lowe's, help wanted. Help wanted. Everywhere you go, these big chains, help wanted. Help wanted because they pay the people nothing. You get a job at these places, you can't have a living. They need cheap labor. That's why they're letting them in as well.
Yeah.
They're also letting them in. So the clowns in office, and you had that congresswoman from Brooklyn saying it right out loud, that we need more people in here so I could get more votes, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And even if they don't get more votes, as they were pointing out this last week, they use it for representation. So if they've got a lot of illegal aliens living in California, the census counts that, and even if they didn't vote, they would still there would still be more Congress members allocated from California. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the game.
So now let's go back to the war, right? You can't stop people from coming in the border. You're going to win a war? Who are you talking to?
Right.
Let's everybody get this straight. You lost the Vietnam War. You lost the Afghan War. You lost the Iraq War. You destroyed Libya, who was the richest country in Africa. And now it's a hellhole. Every war you get involved in, you destroy, kill, murder, and you lose. And now they're ramping it up against China as well. That's going to be another big issue this year. It's going to be a major issue because China's going to take back Taiwan. And it's none of my business. Only been going on since the Ming Dynasty. Only the world organizations say, yeah, Taiwan is not a international free nation. It's part of China. Mm-hmm. It's none of my business. Oh, and how about this guy, Lloyd Austin?
Yeah, he was missing. He was AWOL. Austin without leave this last week. But doesn't that show that they didn't need him, right? He was missing for a week and they didn't need him. Well, what do you think about that?
Mentioning him because another arrogant guy, and I call it to his face. This is the arrogant former general who slaughtered people in Iraq and slaughtered people in Afghanistan that comes out against people like me that calls me an isolationist because I don't want to get involved in foreign entanglements and how we have no right to say that. And he talks down to everybody. You know why? Because he is a general and the rest of us are nothing but privates. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's their attitude.
Yeah.
You look at this clown that we got as president out of his mind in front of your eyes. He got five draft deferments. He's 3 years older than me. Five draft deferments. Five. Five.
Wow.
Look at the wars that he loves. Look at the wars that he loves. These are the evil people running out. And you know what? He says, I'm the commander in chief. You're just a private. I'm the commander in chief. We're going to attack Yemen. And now people have no idea, by the way, of Yemen history. That other arrogant little boy, the little another daddy's boy, Blinken. My daddy was ambassador to Hungary. My uncle was an ambassador to Belgium. I went to Dalton. I went to Harvard. I'm a member of the club. Under the Obama administration, they began the Yemen war in 2014 with Saudi Arabia. Blinken went over to Yemen to give, quote, strategic advice, intelligence. The United States was refueling the Saudi planes that were bombing Yemen. This is the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, Barack Obama.
Yeah. Yeah, 2014 was a banner year for him, wasn't it? You know, the coup in Ukraine and the Yemen war is starting. Yeah.
Yep. Then let's go back to Saudi Arabia. They invented the joint around 1933-34. The kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the first thing they did?
What's that?
They tried to attack Yemen, where the Houthis are. They're in the border. First thing they did. And of course, the Houthis beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are again. And now we have this, the South Africa's brought this up, charges against genocide. You know, Blinken said, oh, this is ridiculous. It's not genocide. Yes, it is. By definition, it is genocide. And everybody should listen to that South African lawyer yesterday giving the talk at the court about the clear facts of Israel committing genocide. The troops singing, we're going to kill everybody. We're going to go take over. One clip after another. one clip after another, calling these people in the Knesset, calling them animals, the Palestinians, we all have to go. One, it's complete genocide. Complete genocide. Where is the outrage again from the religions that you were talking about before?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, people look at it and, God did give Israel the land, but he also had it conditional. You know, it's going to be evicted if you don't follow me. And I look at this and people, they get caught up in their prophetic understanding of what how they think this is going to roll out. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, God has given us some really clear directions about pushing for peace and about a justified war. And so those are really clear things. And I don't think we subjugate those to our perhaps flawed understanding about timings and mechanisms and what you think is going to prophetically happen. But that's the problem. That's what's really pacified, I think, so many people in America. But there's just so many things coming at us in every direction. You know, when we look at this, it's the internal wars that are happening and the war that they try to keep going on between the Republicans and the Democrats as if the occupant of the White House is going to make any difference for any of us.
Well, you said it perfectly. He has the same crime syndicates in power for how many decades, how many hundreds of years?
Oh, yeah.
So since what's his name? Lincoln started the Civil War. You know, I can't stand Nikki Haley. As a matter of fact, Judge Napolitano calls her Lindsey Graham in high heels.
I call her Nuki Haley because she wants to go to war everywhere. But yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. And in Napolitano, and I do a podcast with him every Wednesday. You can go to Gerald Celente on YouTube and you can see it. And he brought up all the facts about the Emancipation Proclamation had nothing to do with freeing the slaves. What it had to do was it gave the troops the ability to take the slaves and turn them into to put them into war to fight.
Yeah.
They didn't declare freedom of slavery, abolish slavery until 8 months after Lincoln was dead.
That's right. He was very careful not to mention the states that were under his control. He freed the states and the other the slaves in the other states. But when I talked about it, and of course this would be something I think you'd find interesting, maybe you know about the fact that Italy had a civil war at exactly the same time, 1861, 1865. And I see it as part of, and I talked about this after that, I said I see it as part of a fourth turning, part of the Industrial Revolution, part of the change from an agrarian state to an industrialized state, and part of a consolidation of power from these previously autonomous, more or less autonomous rural centers of power into a nation state that was going to work with the new industrial powers. That was happening in Germany. It was happening in Italy. It was happening in the United States. And they didn't have slavery in those places, but it was the same type of thing. It still resulted in a war. And in Italy, it was exactly the same time.
You're 100% right. What was that group that came out against industrialization? What's the name of them?
I don't know. Maybe the Luddites?
The Luddites?
Yeah.
Yeah, industrialization. And now we've gone, because it's, again, one of your top trends about the dysfunctional society becoming, it's all AI.
Yeah.
So we've gone from the Industrial Revolution into the high-tech revolution, devolution, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a devolution of society. You know, I love jazz, you know? And my favorite, by the way, is, again, I'm born in 46, right after the war. And I'm the youngest of five. So I have brothers and sisters born in the 30s. My generation never heard this music, and my brothers and sisters never heard. America is at its height right after the war. They called it race music. Back in the day, there were thousands of radio stations independently owned. These guys are singing, and women, they're having the time of their life. Remember, they call it the baby boom. I'm the first of the baby boomers. Yeah, rather than fighting war, they wanted to have, you know, a happy time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Music is so uplifting. The jazz, the fun. And now, it's one bad rap.
Exactly.
It's America going down in front of your eyes. I got to hear about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, she may get engaged in the spring. Top story in CNN today. What do I care about this?
I know. I see it everywhere. I go to political sites and everything. There's all this news about Taylor Swift all the time. Quincy Jones said about rap music, he says, it's just talk. It's not music. It's just talk. But now, you know, what we've got is we've got personalities and we got, you know, music videos that they do. And we got the soap operas that are there. But we don't have the music. That's the interesting
thing. No music. All gone.
Yeah. When I look around, I see any live music. It's always done by old dudes, you know, like us.
Yeah,
they're still playing.
That's what I'm saying.
Even in rock and roll, look at you. Still got the Rolling Stones going around, or what? You still got the same old rock groups. If they're still alive, they're touring because they don't have anything new that's coming up.
Nothing. Yeah. As I said before we went on the air, you said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm not having fun. I'm a city guy, and there's no nightlife anymore."
Yeah.
No nightlife. Gone. Yeah. Finished. So no, you know. By the way, I was the number two guy running a major trade association back in the 70s. And I put on after our trade show, we'd have a big dinner for the people that were in the trade show. Then we have entertainment. I put on a one in Atlanta Convention Center with Ella Fitzgerald.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she live or Memorex?
And we went backstage afterwards and I introduced myself. You know, I said, I was married at the time. And she said to my wife, Mary Ann, at the time who passed away, she said, "You remind me of my goddaughter, Carmen." I put on one with her. I did one. I took over the Superdome and had Dionne Warwick there. Wow. You know, I remember when music was music.
Yeah.
And there were bands playing. And now it's just one bad rap, as I said.
But yeah, it's really died, and it was dying even when I was in college. You know, it was getting more and more difficult for people to get live gigs and stuff. And when I was in college, we did a concert series, and we had three trumpet players come in, all different styles. We had Dizzy Gillespie was one of them with his horn that was bent up. And we had Maynard Ferguson was another one who came in. What an amazing guy. And the third one was Don Ellis. I don't know if you know him, but he was in all kinds of weird meters and everything. You know, these guys had come from Eastern Europe and they were into, you know, 11, 12 time and all this other kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was real interesting times. And used to make a lot of money doing that stuff as well. But it just died. It died very rapidly and we could see it was dying. And it's sad because you can see that same type of death in so many institutional areas and cultural areas that are happening right now. It's just this downward projection. And I don't think it's going to really change until we get to the other side of this fourth turning. And maybe even then it won't, because if they've got the kinds of tools and mechanisms and people don't rise up and, you know, stand up for their freedom, you know, just talk about, you know, cash and what is happening with CBDC. I mean, how do you see this rolling out? This is going to be another thing they're going to roll out on us with the war and the crisis. Is that going to roll out pretty quickly?
Absolutely.
And so what do you say we do? I just had Catherine Austin Fitz on last week, and she was very much about transactional, you know, freedom and cash, having stuff that's analog, having stuff that is anonymous, and using cash so it doesn't just get taken away like we've seen happen in some European countries. They say nobody's using cash, so we're just going to shut down all the ATMs and we're going to stop taking cash. So we really have to use some of these freedoms, I think, in order to keep from losing. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Catherine Austin Fitz is terrific.
Yeah, she is. So knowledgeable. And she's here in Tennessee. She's going to be doing a financial transactional freedom tour around Tennessee, trying to get things going in the state.
I highly admire her.
Yeah.
We go back to your Trends Journal about 4 years ago. From dirty cash to digital trash.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know every penny you spent, where you spent it, what you spent it on. So these little clown politicians never work a day in their life could keep getting tax money. End of story.
And now, if we know that, you know, the things that we do, what do we do now that we know that? Because, you know, a lot of people don't watch you, don't watch me, don't know that. But those of us that do know it, what's the best thing that we can do with that?
For me, I don't give financial advice. I'm not permitted to.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking only for myself. Besides guns, gold, and a getaway plan, GCs, 3Gs, gold, silver, Bitcoin are the three things that I see. And I totally agree with her about the cash. And here's the way I see it happening. Again, they're ramping up the war, right?
Yeah.
You're going to hear one day something like, the Russians hacked our banking system.
Mm-hmm.
They stole our money, but don't worry, you were going to get it back. We're coming back with a digital currency. They're going to make something up.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So that is the way I see it happen. They're definitely going to do it. They're all going to do it. And the young people, they're digitized to death as to begin with. So yeah. This is perfect for them. They don't care.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, go to a place called India.
Mm-hmm.
Poor country. Everything people buy with the phone, with the phone, with the phone, with the phone, with the phone. They're hardly using cash anymore.
Yeah, and they bribed them into that. It was Bill Gates went there and helped them put in their Aadhaar system. And for the really poor people, it's like you take the digital number, you take the Aadhaar number, and we'll give you welfare, we'll give you free health care and all the rest of the stuff. And that's the key thing. I think, you know, once this shock to the system where they bring economic hardship, even in wealthier countries like America, that will be how they will bribe you into that system. You come into that system and you take the number, you get into the system and we'll take care of you. It'll be the kind of universal basic. And that's why it annoyed me so much when Trump did the lockdowns and the stimulus checks. I said, this is training for universal basic income and CBDC.
Well, yes and no, I would say. I don't think they have a plan for it. What they did is they want to keep the rich rich, and they have to keep the stock markets up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything should have crashed when they locked down it. So what happened? They gave zero interest rate policy, dumped in countless trillions of dollars. The equity markets skyrocketed. And merger and acquisition activity hit an all-time high. So the bigs bought, every week in the Trends Journal, we have bigs getting bigger section. All the takeovers. Every week. Every week, every week, every week. 2021 was a record year. Record year of takeovers.
And to me, I think that's a big signal of somebody's not on our side, in the same way that you had the massive merger of banks kicked off under Clinton. As you pointed out, the tax, quote-unquote, reform that Trump did, it made these corporations unbelievable. You know, all the money flowed to them. And then again, when he does a lockdown, it's all the Wall Street is essential, and we're going to give them the money, just like the bailout of the banks are too big to fail. You know, Wall Street companies and the big box retailers are too big. Yeah, that's all it was
about.
That's
all it's about.
Yeah, it shows who they're working for.
It's not, again, from a guy that's been in the system, it's not like they have the great plan. When something happens, then they make the plan around it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I see most of the time. It's not like, okay, this is our plan from start to finish. Doesn't go that far. They're not that bright.
Mm-hmm.
All they're interested in about is now. How do we take advantage of now? As I see it.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Same thing you mentioned about, let's go back to the, you mentioned about the banks. Go back to the panic of 08, a domain name I took out in 2007, forecasting it. They Federal Reserve dumped in $29 trillion to bail out the banks.
Yeah.
According to the Levy Institute at Bard College, not my number. So what I'm saying is, when the situation happens, that's what they do. And you talked about what Trump did with his tax cuts. The BS that he sold the people, first of all, according to the tax policy centers, it was 64%. The 1% got 64% of all the tax benefits. And Trump's BS line was that by lowering the taxes of the corporations, they're going to put this money back into capital improvements. No, they didn't. 2018 was the biggest year of stock buybacks in history of America.
Yeah.
They used that money to get richer.
Yeah. And he repeated all that with the PPP. You know, you had 5% of the companies got over 50% of the money. Very much like his tax reform program. Yeah, but he's the blue collar billionaire, Gerald, for the little guy. He's there for America. I tell you, I can't wake people up. It's just amazing. But commercial, go ahead.
But it's always been like that.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Again, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how stupid that we're going over there to fight for democracy. That's at World War One.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my father, may rest in peace, when I started learning about stuff, I get upset. He said, son, take it easy. He said, people have little minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The masses, look, people don't know what's going on. They have their lives, their kids, their fights, their families, their jobs, this and that. They're not studying every day and seeing what's going on. And all they do is, if they do listen, they hear the prostitute BS coming out of, and that's all they repeat. Yeah. They don't know about the facts.
Yeah, yeah. They regurgitate that. One of the things that you were spot on in terms of predicting was the commercial real estate crash based on the lockdown. Is this about ready to really blow up this next year?
It's one of our top trends for 2024.
Mm.
And what it is banks go bust.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody's talking about this.
That's right.
Last year, our top trend was office building bust, which we called, by the way, when the lockdowns began.
Yeah.
We said, this is the, they're going to admit that it's finally happening, which they finally did. So again, you go pick up the news, you know, and they'll say, just one of them here. It was a front page story in the Wall Street Journal about the office vacancy rate.
Yeah.
It's at almost 20%. 20% of the offices all over America, vacant. Nobody in them. Not one mention in this whole long article about all the office building owners that are going to be defaulting on their loans and the implications it's going to have on the banks. And by the way, the ones that hold most of the loans on the office buildings are medium-sized banks, not the big ones.
Mm. Mm.
That means they're going to go bust and the bigs are going to get bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now, they'll be brought in and given special deals, you know, for stability purposes.
Like they did with the J.P. Morgan crime syndicate. Oh, I call it a crime syndicate because they've been convicted and admitted to 5 felonies.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah.
5. Hey, I'm Jamie Dimon. Hey, I don't go to jail. How much money you want because we got caught? Oh, how about $900 million for rigging the precious metals market?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right. Rig the precious metals market. Precious metals should be through the roof. They want to keep it down because that shows how bad things are as we're talking.
Yeah.
How much did gold go up today as we're talking? I don't know, almost about $40.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of what's going on with the United States and the UK. You got to put an F and a C in that UK because that's all they are. Attacking Yemen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are in World War III. It has begun. There's going to be a false flag event that's going to make it, quote, official, like 9/11. War on Terror began. 3 things changed my life as a young guy after the Vietnam War. Fauci's war on it, the AIDS scare.
Mm-hmm.
The only people dying of AIDS were gays and people whacked out on drugs. And the reason the gays were dying, not my language, this is a fact, is that sperm can't, when sperm goes into the bloodstream, that's the beginning of the end. And because of the kind of sex they were having, that's what happened. These are facts.
Mm.
And people wiped out on drugs, of course, their system is down.
Yeah.
This is the same Fauci that gave us the COVID war.
And he used the PCR thing to create the so-called HIV virus stuff and all the rest of this. And
that's right.
And they waited until, you know, and Kerry Mullis, I always get it confused if it's Mullen or Mullis, but he opposed him on it, the guy who created the PCR test. And he died a couple months before they pulled off this COVID thing, because he would have been a real thorn in their side. So they either waited for that or they caused that to happen. I don't know which one it was.
So it was the AIDS scare, 9/11, and the COVID war. Those three things changed America in so many different ways. And the 9/11, I used to do gigs for all over the world, you know, corporations, trade associations hiring me to give trend forecasts for their businesses and industries. I hated to travel by 2012. It was no more fun. It was fun when I began, you know, I started flying first class in 1974. I remember going from Chicago to Las Vegas and they rolled down a roast in first class. Would you like a roast or lobster thermidor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'd give you a glass of wine and a plastic cup in a little crappy first class. So anyway.
And they strip search you on the way in and get your facial ID for their biometric database and all the rest of this stuff. It's like I've had.
And I refuse to go through those electronic things.
Yeah.
You know, so they feel you up, you know.
Well, and I do it because I just want to I want to be a monkey wrench in the machinery. So it's like, no, stop everything and come over here and feel me up, you know, because I won't play along with this.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're getting radiation going into you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's true. So anyway, now it's war. That's all they are. Again, here, I want to read this to you. This is George Washington's farewell address. Part of it. It is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. Observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. You ready? The nation which indulges toward another in habitual hatred, as we do with Russia all my life, or in habitual fondness, as we're doing with Ukraine and Israel, is in some degree a slave.
He's absolutely right.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. And you got a clown boy, a little arrogant general, Austin here, Lloyd Austin, whose last job was sitting on the board of directors of Raytheon, the second largest defense contractor in America, telling me that I have no right to say America shouldn't get involved in foreign entanglements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Screw you, George Washington. Oh, you mean the Washington that really fought? Were you out there fighting in the front lines, Lloyd Austin? No, I was given command, my commander.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think in terms of, there's so much talk about civil war, of course. You know, we can see what's happening with the world war. See the aggression with Ukraine persisting, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with China and Taiwan. Do you think that we're going to have a civil war at the same time? Is that what they're trying to do with the chaos in the borders? Yeah. I mean, they got thousands of people coming in just from China, but they're coming in from every other country. We have seen what has happened in that Italian island, for example, I forget the name of it. They had 6,000 people on the island. And within just a few months, they brought in 18,000 other people. How do you swamp an island like that with people? Nobody can have a decent standard of living. It seems like they want to bring in people to create division, chaos, unrest on the inside. At the same time, we've got this going on the outside. To me, it looks like, you know, the old metaphor of the fifth column. Where, you know, the Spanish Civil War, they said, well, we got four columns in that are attacking the city. But the guy said, but the real ace in the hole is the fifth column, the people who are already in the city who are on our side. Do you think there's an element of that? Are they rolling this out to have both a civil war as well as a world war at the same time? Because they keep talking about civil war.
No, I really don't. No. They just can't handle it. And I want to go back to that, but before I forget, I talked about the banking bust.
Yeah.
We're telling people you better be prepared for this, because when the banks go bust, look what happened last March when Silicon Valley Bank went bust, and then First Republic went bust. Look what it did to the equity markets, and look what it did to the scare. The panic of 08 became real when Lehman Brothers went bust.
Yeah.
The crisis that's going on, because this is all related to, by the way, the migrant crisis. All things are connected, as Chief Seattle said, like the blood which unites us all. There's poverty all around the world. People are escaping lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime, and violence. They're getting that. This was happening before the COVID war, which made it a lot worse. So now let's go back to the banking bust. When this goes down, the reality of how bad the economy that was artificially propped up, as we were talking before, with the COVID war, with the zero interest rate policy and countless trillions pumped into it, and was the United States debt level about $34 trillion, you're not going to pay this off.
Right.
That goes back to CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, too, because we're going to do away with the old currency, coming out with a new one. Forget about the debt. They'll make up something.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the I'm just warning people that you better consider preparing for the worst,
mm-hmm.
because there's going to be the banking crisis. That's going to bring the reality to the streets. The people know how bad it is, but because they make it look OK, people don't realize how bad it is. Like the crash of 29. The people were doing terrible when the markets crashed and the Great Depression, quote, became official. So that's going to happen. Now, going back to the migrant crisis.
Well, let me ask you before we go back to the migrant crisis. So preparing for it to happen, you know, in terms of you're looking at bank failures and other things like that, is part of that what you see people having their money locked away, evaporated because it's in these institutions?
Anything can happen. Here, I'm President Franklin Roosevelt. Turn in your gold. You don't turn it in, you're committing a crime. And you turn it in for what? $26 an ounce. And as soon as we get it all, we raise the price to what? $32, $34 right. an ounce or something, right?
That's right. Yeah.
You know, again, my father, may rest in peace. I'll never forget him. A kid, he told me, you know, he said, you know, son, he said, I remember your grandfather. I walk over with that, go to the house one day and he's packing up all the gold. I said, Pop, what are you doing with this? He said, the president wants it back and I'm giving it back to them. My father said, what are you out of your mind? He said, oh, dare you say that. My grandfather turned it all in. He believed it.
Wow.
So they'll do the same thing. They're going to force something on us. They'll create anything that they want. Look how they take us. The commander in chief just did in violation of the Constitution without the approval of Congress, just attack Yemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll do anything that they want. And the masses will fight back.
All right. Is that why you think, you know, because today people are not going to naively pack up our gold and hand it in. Is that why they're creating this army of IRS agents?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Five and a half times bigger. Of course, you know, that I talked about yesterday, I said you got all these conservative people trying to cheer on the Republican Party and the speaker and say, look at this. He saved us $20 billion. And it's like drastic, massive cuts to the Biden budget and everything. It's like, okay, you got an agency that's $13 billion. He's going to give them another 60 instead of another 80. And you call that a win.
And that's some change.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did we send already? About $160 billion to Ukraine to fight the war?
Yeah.
How much we sent to Israel? About $500 billion since they began the country. Every year we're sending them $3.8 billion. We just send them what? How many billions of dollars worth of weapons to keep slaughtering them? This is chump change.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, as our infrastructure is rotting in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rotting in front of us.
Yeah. And being dismantled, you know, going through and taking the power plants at work and putting on renewables that are extremely expensive. And unreliable. You know, they're pushing everything onto the grid as they make it more and more fragile. So I'm sorry, what are some of your other trends? What you want to get back
to? Well, that goes back to that one. One of them is EVFU, electric vehicle. And again, these top trends came out on January 2nd. What was announced yesterday by Hertz?
Yeah, 20,000. Get rid of them.
Yep. So we said this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And again, going back to another guy by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower, his farewell address, warning the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Let's go back to the genius of the scientists. The hundreds of trillions of dollars we spent since the end of World War II for the military-industrial complex. Could you imagine if $1 trillion went into research and development of a new alternative energy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. They control all of the research and then they direct it to everything that is harmful. Nothing that is beneficial to us.
Nothing.
Just an explosion in technology funded by them all of it for evil purposes.
Yep. And again, when you talk about Amtrak, you know, I was invited to JFK's down in Philadelphia when he, RFK Jr., when he said he was going to run it as an independent. They invited me down there. So I took Amtrak down. What a joke. What a joke. High speed rails all over the world. And we got this crap train. Amcrap, not Amtrak. Amcrap. And again, yeah. The roads, potholes everywhere you go. And I don't support RFK Jr. anymore. When he came out, that guy Ackman, the billionaire that told Harvard woman they fired her, they called her an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
He came out in support of him, calls the Palestinians, not the proper language, but to the effect that they're the most spoiled people on earth. And he totally supports the genocide going on. So I no longer support him. And I had Dennis Kucinich, his former campaign manager, as one of my speakers at my Occupy Peace rally. Mm-hmm. And now Kucinich is no longer there. And who's RFK Jr.'s new campaign manager? His daughter-in-law? What was her last job?
CIA, yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
His uncle, JFK, must be rolling in his grave.
Yeah.
Because JFK was against the CIA.
Yeah.
I spoke with Kennedy. You know, we were talking. Terror. And now he's going to bring on Tulsi Gabbard. That's the next thing. Mm. And she's pro-Israel too.
And so, also been connected with Davos. I don't know just how close her Davos connection was, but yeah, many people pointed that out as well.
Yep.
So we're almost out of time. We've got about 30 seconds. And again, I want to tell people, if you go to trendsjournal.com, you can subscribe to the excellent Trends Journal weekly publication. Massive amount of work, massive amount of information that's there. And you can save 10% if you use the code NIGHT. Thank you so much for joining us, Gerald. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for all that you do. I appreciate being on.
Thank you. On Rockfin, Tornator, thank you very much. I will keep your comment and we'll speak to that on Monday about what's going on January the 6th, Ray Epps and other things like that. Didn't have time to get to it today, but thank you so much. And we'll keep that comment until Monday. Thank you, Gerald. Have a good day.
David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.